Well, good evening and welcome to tonight's Bible study as we continue our study in the armor of God. And tonight we're specifically looking at the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the scripture is from Ephesians 6 verse 14, and it says, "Stand there having fastened the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Now, last week we started this the armor, applying the armor. The first week we just looked at an overview of the armor of God, but last week specifically we looked at the belt of truth, and the belt of truth being the center of it all, as in it is where everything is initiated. It's the first piece of armor that a soldier would put on when he's arming himself for battle, when he is getting ready to go and wage war. And so we found out that if the soldier is not going to put on his belt first, or what we call in the spiritual realm the belt of truth, he may as well not bother going to war, because the belt is what holds the armor together. The belt of truth is something that strengthens us. It stabilizes us, it balances us, it gives us stamina in our walk. Therefore, when we walk in truth, when we abide in truth, and we make decisions according to truth, then we know that the enemy is disarmed and unable to attack us. So it's about abiding in truth. It's about making decisions according to truth. It is about walking in the truth. And what is the truth that we're referring to? It's none other than the Word of God. And so this week we continue on with that verse 14, but we look at the latter part, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I just want to stop for one moment here, and I want you to get a piece of paper and a pencil, pen, marker, whatever. Just get something to write with on that piece of paper. Now, once you have that piece of paper, I just want you to pause for a moment and think in your mind of someone or something that is highly irritating towards you, highly irritating to you, just something that annoys you. I want you to write that down at the top of the page. Okay, now for the rest of the evening, just use that page to write notes on, because that's what Bible study is about. It's about taking notes, okay? But Ephesians 6:14, in the Passion Translation, it says it like this: "Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Put on holiness as a protective armor that covers your heart." So what is this breastplate of righteousness? Well, the Passion Translation called it holiness. But we're going to look at the breastplate of righteousness in this sense. The Greek word tachora that Paul used comes from the Greek word thorax, okay? And it means a protective covering from the chest, a protective covering over the chest for used in combat. So this word tachora is a term of any protective covering that would be over your chest during battle. So imagine that this thorax, the word that we get, the thorax, the upper part of the body, comes from the Greek word tachora, and it's talking about the protective measure that is over our body, our top thorax. So for us, in our physical sense, the thorax is the protective measure for our heart and our organs that are underneath. But also, when Paul's talking about this breastplate of righteousness, that's exactly the point that he's wanting to make. He's using that Greek word, rendering the thorax, just as God has fashioned our body to have naturally our ribs and our skin as that protective covering over our thorax. He's now looking, remember, he's in jail in Rome, and he's looking at the soldiers on a daily basis, and he is seeing them in their armor. And so he's being reminded by the Holy Spirit as he's just scribing this letter to the Ephesians, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, he's being reminded by these Roman soldiers of this protective covering. And so most of the Roman soldiers, they would have worn something that would, well, might, don't mind me, it's a little small, I know, this would be what they would call a lorica segmentata. Okay, lorica segmentata. Lorica, it's the Latin word for breastplate. Okay, so this would be your atypical breastplate or armor that a soldier would wear in those times. Now, when they do their ancient excavations or archaeological digs, they've come to determine there's probably 25 or 30 different types of pieces of armor. And that's because during that time, in the ancient Roman times, the government had not yet established a uniform that they provided for their army. And so what would happen to the soldiers is that they would have to provide their own armor. Of course, there would be some soldiers that had a little bit more money and they would purchase armor that would have been constructive primarily of iron or bronze, so it would have looked something like this. Those that had lesser money would have worn another type of armor. And then, of course, there would be those that would go into war that would not have any form of armor on them. And so this is your typical lorica segmentata, lorica meaning breastplate. And so you could see it covers the soldier from the top of the shoulders right on down. Some scholars will say it covers right to the mid-thigh. And again, I think that applies, it's just my own thoughts, that it applies to what was a soldier able to afford. And but the breastplate, it was a central part of the soldier's armor. It was a central part. It's the first thing that you're going to see on the soldier. And it provided protection to that upper torso. It provided protection to the organs, as I had mentioned earlier, like the lungs and the heart and so on. And so without a breastplate, when the soldier would go into war, he would be very volatile to any sort of attack. Without the breastplate, any attack that would come against him could have been a fatal attack. And so likewise, with the breastplate, he was protected and he could, when the arrows would come against him, those arrows would bounce off or they would ricochet away. Why? Because he had a protective covering that did not allow the arrows to penetrate past through the breastplate. So what are the different measures that the breastplate offers to the soldier? What would it offer to us? Why did Paul use this as an illustration? Well, the breastplate consisted of overlapping pieces, okay? So as we could see, these are overlapping pieces of metal and they're connecting the front and the back sections. And there would be rounded pieces that would go over the shoulders, and these would all be connected together by leather strips, and they usually rested on the shoulders' hips. Like I said, some scholars would say that it would go even longer into the thighs, but whatever it be, it is the overlapping of the metal pieces if we're considering that lorica type of breastplate. The overlapping pieces would allow for the soldier to have more flexibility, more agility, so that if they had to run in pursuit or quickly flee or quickly respond, they had that because it wasn't stiff. So those layers provided that ability to be able to move. The breastplate also, as I mentioned, it protected the lungs, it protected the heart, any vital organs within the individual's body, their core, their from their neck down right through to their waist. And it also was lightweight enough, so it wasn't heavy upon them, it wasn't a burden for them to be under that armor. And so the soldier, between the multiple layers and the lightweight of this armor, they were very agile and they were able to move quickly with freedom in their pursuits. It was generally made, like I said, of iron, in some cases of bronze, depending on the affordability of the soldier. Some wealthier soldiers obviously would lean towards getting a bronze armor. But these are some points considering the breastplate of righteousness spiritually. What would the breastplate of righteousness offer to you and I as children of God? Why again would Paul bring us to this place of Ephesians chapter 6 where he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and put on the whole armor of God. Let's just pause for this moment and just pray. Father God, we thank you for tonight's Bible study. We thank you, Lord, that it is your word that we're looking into. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give us revelation, knowledge. Give us understanding and insight. Lord, as we just unfold this and unpack this breastplate of righteousness, Lord, would you cause us to have a perspective to see with eyes as you see? Lord, that we would see into our heart, that we would see exactly why you have placed this breastplate of righteousness. What is the real truth that you want to hone in on? So God, I just ask that you would direct this study. Place me behind the cross and let only anything to be said that you have purposed to be said, and that you would be glorified in everything, in Jesus' mighty name. So we see this breastplate, and we see that Paul has said to them, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So while he's warning them to stand against the schemes of the devil, he then begins to unpack how they're supposed to stand against the schemes of the devil. And he says to them, because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, we're wrestling against principalities and powers of the air, we're wrestling against evil forces. You see, here on earth, when somebody makes us mad, immediately we interpret our wrestling against that individual. And so Paul is bringing us into this place that, wait a second, there's a greater battle that you need to realize is going on here. And in that battle, you need to arm yourself with the truth of God's word. And so that is the very thing he says. I'm looking at the soldier every day. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. And he's scribing, and the Holy Spirit is just planting in his heart and his mind exactly how he's to direct his letter to these Ephesians. And as he sees this soldier, and knowing as he's watching the changing of the guard throughout the periods of the day, he's being reminded they had to put on their belt first, because in order for all of that armor to be held in place, they had to have the truth. Ephesians, you know, you need to know the truth. So friends, tonight we need to be grounded in the truth. But then as he's watching and looking directly into this soldier, he's being reminded, wow, he's got a really strong covering over his chest. He's really got something that is going to protect him from any piercing that may want to get through to his heart, that may want to get through to the very vital organs of his life, life-giving organs, our heart. If anything goes wrong with our heart, immediately then there is an issue for concern. If there's something that goes wrong with our lungs, there's immediate issue for concern. Why? Because the lungs take in air that give us oxygen, and it is our heart that pumps that oxygen, that blood, through our body. And so Paul's seen this all unfold before him, and he's like, wow, God is so ordained that we are to, in the spirit realm, have that protective covering. Why? Because this breastplate of righteousness is of vital importance, because it affects the totality of who we are. How do I mean that? Well, our mind, the thoughts, our will, it's our drive, it's our ambitions. It's the breastplate is vital because it affects the totality of our emotions, our feelings. It affects our conscience, which is our moral compass. And we looked at that last week. I illustrated Pinocchio's little friend What was his name? Geppetto, maybe? I don't know. I forget. It's too long ago. But anyways, the little guy said to him, let conscience be your guide. With the heart being the center plate, the centerpiece of the soul, the enemy's target is what for you? His target is after your heart. The enemy wants to target your heart. And the heart is the centerpiece of you. And so also more vitally important, because you're not wrestling against each other. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood, friends, family, co-workers. You're wrestling against principalities of the air that are using it. And if you want to picture a chess game where you have to strategically move your pieces on that chessboard. And as you're strategically trying to get into the mind of your opponent and guess where he's going to move that pawn next, so the enemy is studying you and he's looking to see what will be your next plan of action. I wonder if Persatio put God first. I wonder if she will pray about that. And they will see that often we will seek counsel from friends. Often we'll just go ahead and make our own plans. And so then the enemy will jump in. So the mind, the will, and the emotions is areas in which the enemy will play on. He will prey on, P-R-E-Y. How does he prey upon our mind? Well, he wants to distort your thinking about God. Because perhaps you've been asking God certain questions and seeking his face, and his silence seems to you as though he's not listening or he's disinterested in giving you an answer. And so the enemy is wanting to magnify that as though God never listens to my prayers. He has no interest in me. The enemy wants to magnify on your will. He wants to redirect your ambitions against what God has established as his plans for your life. So rather than you seeking God, what is your will and plan for my life? The enemy wants to redirect that. He wants to dangle other carrots in front of you that seem to be more enticing, more interesting. Hey, if I do this, then that. He wants to prey upon your emotions. He wants to play with your feelings, jumping on your back in the moments when you are discouraged. And while he's playing piggyback on you, he's whispering into your ear, oh, they don't really care about you. They're not really interested in you. They did that on purpose to you. They purposely said that because they knew it would hurt you. And so he whispers into your ear while he jumps on your back during a low emotional time, a lull in your emotions and in your feelings. He wants to plague you with discouragement and sadness. He wants to cause you to feel revenge towards others who have done wrong. He wants to allow anger to rise up within you. Remember, our soul is the centerpiece. It's the very core of who we are, and we need to protect that with the breastplate of righteousness. He wants to jump on your conscience. How would the enemy, the principalities of the air, play around with your conscience? Well, he wants to influence you in your lifestyle habits, in your living, in your day-to-day choices. Whether or not you're living by the moral compass of God's word, or whether or not you're making excuses and allowances for yourself. You know that it's not really God-honoring, but everybody's doing it nowadays. And so, hey, why not? What's wrong? Why should it be such a problem for me? And so there he plays with your conscience to excuse you, to give you allowance into something that morally, you know, the word of God speaks against. Morally, you get that check, that Holy Spirit check within you. This isn't right. I ought not to be partaking in this. And so there the enemy wants to play on us. And Paul encouraged the Ephesians, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Get that breastplate on. Fasten it into the belt of truth. having put on. So he brings us to this place of having put on the breastplate of righteousness. But you know what? There are times when the enemy has played with us, such as the areas that I just listed, our mind, our will, our emotions, our conscience, and so we get holes within our breastplate. You know, this happened to an individual in the Old Testament, King Ahab. You recall him? He was coveting, Naboth's vineyard. And so he desired that he would have that vineyard for himself. And in wanting to acquire that, he has Naboth killed. And this displeased the Lord. Why? Because Ahab was a leader that didn't even fear God. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 30 says that he did evil in the sight of the Lord more than any other leader before him. And so here, if you could imagine how God felt when he chose to kill Naboth just so that he could acquire his vineyard. So then the Lord sent Elijah as a messenger to him, and he gave him this word because God was not pleased. And he said, have you killed and also taken possession? You killed a man and taken possession of his land? Thus says the Lord, 1 Kings 21 verse 19. In the place where dogs licked up blood of Naboth shall dogs lick your own blood. Imagine that. God sent Elijah to give a word to Ahab that in the place where you acquired this land, you know what? The dogs are going to lick your blood. I don't know about you, but that would make me fearful. What do you mean lick my blood? Why will I be bleeding? Well, the story goes on that God prophesied that Ahab was going to die in battle. And so in 1 Kings 22, Ahab, if you have your Bible, you could just turn there. And we're just going to quickly look at a few of the verses. And it says that, so the king of Israel, verse 29, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you wear your robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the 32 captains of his chariots, fight for neither small nor great, but only with the king of Israel. Only with the king of Israel. And when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat, they said, it is surely the king of Israel. And so they turned to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. And when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. But a certain man drew his bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the scale, armor, and what? The breastplate. Therefore he said to the driver of his chariot, turn around and carry me out of the battle, for I am wounded. And the battle continued that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Syrians until at evening he died, and the blood of the wound flowed into the bottom of the chariot. And about sunset a cry went through the army, every man to his city and every man to his country. And so the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria, and they washed the chariot by the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood. Just as God had said it would happen, it happened. But why did it happen? Because there was a hole in his breastplate. You see, Ahab was not in right relationship. We're gonna look at that a little more in just a moment. But he was not in right relationship with God. He was a man that did not fear God. He neither considered him or sought his counsel. If he wanted something, he did what he wanted to do to acquire it, like the killing of Naboth. And so there's no breastplate of righteousness without the belt of truth. We must always have these pieces of armor on. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. When you started your day today, did you put on the breastplate of righteousness? When Paul says having put on, it's a continual action. It's something that we do on the repetitive, that we keep on doing. Having put on, it's a continuous action. It's not once in a while. It's not something that you did when you asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, and therefore it's fixed in place, all done, not having to put it on again. Well, I asked Jesus to be my Savior when I was 10 years old, so you know, that's okay. No, having put on, you're putting this breastplate on every day. And while you are putting it on, you are attaching it to truth. So you are covering your heart. You are covering your thoughts. You are covering your vital organs of your thought, will, and emotions with the Word of God. And you are applying the Word of God in every area of your life. There was something with Ahab, something that was striking him, that caused him to have a hole in his armor, that caused that arrow to be able to pierce through to his point of death. And that something was his relationship with God. As I mentioned, we'll look more on that as we understand what righteousness is. To understand what righteousness is, it's the word. Righteousness is the Greek word diakosune, which means right, fair, righteousness, to be in proper or right relationship. It's the matter of being morally upright without guilt or sin. Righteousness is right standing before God. Righteousness is the act in which Jesus did on the cross when he completed the act of the cross, when he took our sins to the cross and he died for us. There was righteousness imputed. Righteousness is the completion of truth. So once the breastplate is put on, the breastplate of righteousness, it is attached to the belt of truth. They become one. They are complete. They are a unit, a solid whole unit. Righteousness is the means in which we align our lives. The righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. We align our lives because in order to attach it to the belt of truth, there has to be a looping together. Those loops are in various places, and if the armor is crooked in any way or the belt is crooked in any way, they are not going to align. And so righteousness aligns with truth, and truth and righteousness together is what aligns our life. It gives us that manner in which we are to walk. Ephesians 4 and 11 says this: therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. How could you walk worthy if your armor is not in place? If your armor has not been fastened to truth, how could you walk with that moral compass in right alignment with God if it hasn't been fastened to truth? David said this in Psalm 139. And Josh, I'm sorry, I didn't give it to you, but if you call up 139, the first 8 verses, he's talking to God, and he's saying, you know my lying down, and you know my getting up. He goes, search me, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, and you know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways, even before a word is on my tongue. Behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in. behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. David knew the truth of God's word. The truth of God's word is, you know everything concerning me. You know where I go. You know if I were to ascend to the heavens, you know that I'm there. If I were to go to the depths of Sheol, hell, you even behold, Lord, you are there. You know all things. And so I am to align my life with you, with your precepts, with your direction. In Hebrew, in the Hebrew scriptures, it puts together righteousness and justice. It brings them together as one piece. It connects them. Righteousness is connected to justice because in Hebrew, the word for righteousness means tzedakah. In Hebrew, the word for justice means misfa, if I said that right, mishpa. Okay, and so they work together. How do they work together? Well, if we were to consider Genesis chapter 1 and 2, where we see the creations of the heavens and the earth. And as God created the heavens and the earth, he created the heavens and the earth so that he may have relationship with us and that we would also then have relationship. Okay, he wanted us to have relationship with him. He wanted us to have relationship with others. He wanted us to have relationship even with ourselves. And he wanted us to have relationship with creation. This is why he put man to be in charge over all things. And so when righteousness broke down is what we saw in Genesis chapter 1 when Adam and Eve caved to the idea. Did God really say that? And they partook of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. Then justice had to come in and bring correction to where righteousness was broken. Mishpah means it is the action that is taken to bring to restore righteousness and to further stop any further injustice. So mishpah, the word for justice, is the action that comes in to prevent any further injustice when righteousness has been broken. And so in the Old Testament, we see that whenever righteousness has been broken, then justice comes in to bring correction, to bring alignment. So Paul brings us this link of the breastplate, and he says that we are to put on the breastplate of righteousness. So that breastplate takes a stand against any injustices within our life. Whenever there's anything within our life that is broken down, that is not right, then putting on the breastplate of righteousness brings us into that alignment. How has Paul used it in the letter to Ephesians? We see in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3-6. He says this, But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, no foolish talk, no crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So how is Paul? You see, the Ephesians were very familiar with the Jewish scriptures. They were very familiar, with the scriptures. And so they would have understanding when Paul is talking about injustice, when Paul is linking righteousness and justice together. Okay? And so when Paul mentions just this short list, sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, filthy and foolish talk, and crude joking, he then says this, prior. It's like he's reminding them, look, I just finished telling you in chapter 4. Well, then it wasn't chapters. It was just one continuous letter. But I just finished telling you, 4 verse 22 to 23, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Put that part of you off. Don't allow that part to have rulership anymore, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. To be renewed in the spirit of your mind, to allow justice to come in and to bring correction so that righteousness could be brought to its place again. So he expands on the thought of righteousness. And he says that former manner of living, that former manner of your lifestyle, you need to put it off. You need to get rid of it. That those things that you used to do, those sexually immoral acts, get rid of them. That filthy talk, come on. Those filthy thoughts, those crude jokes, that shop talk, get rid of it. You are not that child. You are not that person. That's not who you were created to be. This is the old man. Put it off. Paul is using righteousness in the context of putting on the new self. There are certain actions that were part of your former man. There are certain actions that were part of what you were that ought not to be who you are now. Okay, we have to broaden our understanding just a little bit so that you could see where we're going. He used that example of putting off and putting on the new man. Putting off the old man, putting on the new man. And the Ephesians could understand this, because they were very familiar with the scriptures, as I mentioned, especially the book of Isaiah. If we turn to Isaiah chapter 59, we're going to see something that had happened in the land that's going to help us to understand how justice, injustice and righteousness play together, okay? And it says this, verse 17, he says, he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. Who is he in this text? He being God. Why did God put on righteousness as a breastplate? Why did he put on a helmet of salvation on his head? And why did he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, wrapping himself in zeal as a cloak? What was going on during this time? Well, we have to go back to verse 14. And it says this, judgment is turned back and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled into the public squares and uprightness cannot enter. Truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. The Lord saw it and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no one to intercede. When he saw that there was no one to intercede, then his own arm brought him salvation, and his righteousness upheld him. Do you see where righteousness and justice begin to play a part? Why? Because God saw that there was no man. The truth was lying in the streets. The truth and justice was lying in the streets, and no man could go after it. Why? Because they were prohibited. And so God put on his own breastplate of righteousness. Verse 17, and his own helmet of salvation on his head, and he put on a garment of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak according to their deeds, so will he repay wrath to his adversaries, repayment to his enemies. So the coastlands he will render repayment. So they, verse 19, shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun, for he will come like a rushing stream, which the winds of the Lord drives, and a redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who turn from the transgression, declares the Lord. And as for me, this is my covenant, says the Lord. My spirit that is upon you and my words that I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth or out of the mouth of your offspring or out of the mouth of your children's offspring, says the Lord, from this time forth forevermore. God says righteousness has fleen, right? Justice has fleen. I am going to clothe myself. And so Paul brings them into a place, put on righteousness. And immediately the Ephesians, those Jewish Ephesians were able to connect that, yes, we're familiar with God's breastplate of righteousness. We're familiar when the prophet Isaiah spoke about justice being injustice being in the streets, and that truth was not being prevailed, and that they were prohibited for going out after it. We understand that God himself put on the breastplate of righteousness. Paul, we got you. We get it. We finally get it, Paul. And so we have righteousness like a breastplate, God's armor. God himself put righteousness on. But there's a larger thing going on here. He wanted to restore injustice. The people were confessing that there was something. He wanted to restore justice. Excuse me. The people were confessing they weren't able to do it. And so God had to take the matters into his own hands. And so justice and righteousness are working together. And so this made sense. That when you put on the breastplate of righteousness, you are guarding yourself against injustice. And that's why Paul, just a few sentences earlier, was saying, get rid of your old way of living. Get rid of your old crude talk. Get that dirty mouth out. Wash it with the soap of the Spirit. Paul is drawing us to understand the truth of the breastplate is to bring right living into your life. Right living into your life. It's all about that protective covering to protect your vital organs, protect your mind, will, and emotions, your feelings, your conscience, to protect your heart. Why? Because we are also encouraged in the Word of God to, above all, guard our heart. David said this again in Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. I think David in that moment was understanding the truth of righteousness. If somehow it gives me a thought that perhaps David understands something about protecting the heart from injustice. Somehow he understood that his heart could not be in awe with somebody else, because that was giving a portal in his armor. Somehow David understood that with justice and righteousness, he had to guard himself. And so he had to say, God, search me. Search my heart. Know me. See if there's any wicked way in me. See if there's any seed inside of me that might be causing my armor to have a hole in it. You see, Ahab was covetous. He was seeking after something that wasn't his. He wasn't in right standing or relationship either with God. He was not God-fearing in any way. As I already said to you, he was one of the most evil leaders. And so when he was in battle, he was not covered. The arrow pierced right through his breastplate. And that will happen to you and I if we have areas of our life that we have not attended to, if we have areas in our life that is not in right relationship with God, right relationship with each other, the enemy will come in. You see, the enemy wants to attack our relationship with God. The enemy wants us to question God's love towards us. He wants us to question His grace towards us. He wants us to question God's forgiveness towards us. He wants us to second guess the lives and the freedom that God has given us. The enemy wants to also come in and attack all of our relationships. Our relationship with our spouse, with our family, with our friends. The enemy wants to maneuver his way in, because if he could get in there as a toehold, he could wedge his way right into the door. And he could cause there to be a break in your breastplate of righteousness. Is there an area of your life that you keep getting attacked in? Check your breastplate. Make David's prayer your prayer. Say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me." Because when we come in alignment with our relationship with God, then the enemy can't penetrate past the armor of God. Because it's His breastplate of righteousness. He is the one who put it on first. Paul is using the illustration of the soldier, but it is God who first put that breastplate of righteousness on. When He decided, look, there is injustice in the land, truth is in the streets, and no one's going out after it, I will take up this cause. I will put on the breastplate of righteousness. And Paul is saying, be like Christ. Be like the one who is living within you. Let the one that is living within you rise up and be your guide. So it's the attempt of the enemy to get into us by attacking relationships around us. And once relationships around us or people within our lives, once there's some sort of brokenness with those that are close to us, then the enemy could get into us. Why? Because when there's broken relationships, we feel weighted. We feel burdened. Think of that person you wrote on the sheet when you started tonight. Think of that situation that you wrote down on the top of the sheet. Is it not a burden to you? Does it not drain you whenever it comes to your mind, how it could be fixed, how it could be resolved? Does it not exhaust you? You see, that's the working of the enemy. He got into the creases of your armor. You see that arrow that pierced, it went in between. It found a hole. It found an area in which it could wedge through, and he died. Is there an area where the enemy has wedged through? If you're not living in right relationship, the very core of who you are is vulnerable to attack of the enemy. So we have to be vigilant in our relationships. Beginning first with your relationship with God. Your relationship with God must be your first and primary attention, because when your relationship with God is correct, then everything else will come in alignment. If there's other relationships in your lives that need fixing, adjusting, or attending to, then when you're in relationship with God is right, He's going to draw your attention to what needs to be fixed. Are we living in right relationships with those around us where we're living? Or do we lack forgiveness? Or do we have pride that we can't pursue reconciliation? Or do we have areas that we have been actively in discord with others? We got to bring that into order. We have to walk right before the Lord. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for out of it flows the springs of life. You see, righteousness will cause you to keep your heart with all vigilance. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness will cause you to guard your heart, your mind, your soul, and your emotions. Why? Because it's going to cover those as you walk in right relationship with God. How do you get in right relationship with God? Well, there's another aspect of righteousness. Righteousness is something we attain through Christ. When you choose to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, what happened was this. You recognized that you were a sinner. And so that His righteousness, He is the only perfect one. His righteousness became your righteousness. Why? Because Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So there is none of us, those of us that are listening or myself speaking, none of us are perfect as Christ is perfect. We all have sinned. We all have fallen short. But because He who was without sin, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become what? The righteousness of God. How do we attain righteousness? How do we walk in right standing with God? We recognize I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. God, there's nothing right about me. And so we receive His forgiveness. And when we receive His forgiveness, He gives us new clothes, new garments. His righteousness is put upon us. The word that the scripture uses, it is imputed upon us. It is put upon us. There is an exchange between us and Christ. The cross took away the penalty of sin. The cross took away the cost of your sin. Why? Because Jesus purchased it on the cross by shedding His own blood. You see, through when God looks at you, He sees you through the blood, the filter of the blood of His Son, the only perfect sacrifice that was capable of making that purchase for you. And so when He made that purchase for you, He took all of your sin upon Himself, past, present, and future. He took all the sins of the past, of the present, of the future, of the ones that you don't even know that you will commit before you've committed them. And He has taken them upon Himself. And it says this, He's taken them upon Himself, why? So that we would stand faultless before the Lord, before God. When God sees us, He sees us through the filter of His Son's blood. When He sees you through the filter of His Son's blood, it doesn't matter what enemy, what accusations the enemy brings to Him. Oh, but you did you see what she did yesterday? Did you see the way he cussed out that man? And did you see the way, and did you, Papa? And the enemy goes as the accuser of the brethren before the throne of God, and God just goes, I can't hear it. That's my Son's blood. I don't see it. And they and there's been an exchange. Romans 8, verse 1 says this. There is now therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter what the enemy's reporting back to God. Well, you know, God, they did this and they did that. God says this in verse 38 and 39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things that come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because what Jesus did on the cross was out of love for you and me. When Jesus decided to die on the cross, it was because He loved us. He chose to give of His life for us so that we would have the exchange of righteousness. So so righteousness symbolizes Christ. Righteousness symbolizes our Christian righteousness in God. So it symbolizes the price that Christ paid on the cross, and righteousness symbolizes our standing with God. We are standing, we are made righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's why Paul says, put the old off. Put the old man off. Put on Christ. Put off the old. Put on Christ. Why? Because he, when he dealt with the Corinthians, he said to them, the old has passed away. You're a new creation in Christ. That's not who you are. You are not that person. Why are you picking up that filthy talk? Why are you still sexually involved when you know better than that? You're not that person. You're a new creation. The old is gone. You are new in Christ. So righteousness deals with our relationship with God. When we put on the breastplate of righteousness, we're bringing ourselves in alignment with truth, and truth and righteousness work together. They are complete. They complete each other. And righteousness brings us in right standing with God. Why? Because Christ, in exchange, put on righteousness to us where there was sin. You see, when you come into a relationship with Christ, the things you formerly did should not be a part of your lifestyle. Consider a pregnant woman. Once she has become pregnant, there's new life that is residing within her. All of a sudden now, as a result of this new life that is residing within her, there are foods that she used to eat. When she goes to reach for them, oh, she feels as though she's going to be sick. She goes to reach for a cup of coffee and, oh, she can't drink the coffee anymore. There's an aversion to it. Why? Because there's a new life that's growing within her. And as a result of what's happening within the exchange of her system and the baby, she now has an aversion to what she used to have enjoyment in. When you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and he came and took up residence, know you not that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? That Holy Spirit that dwells within you causes you to have an aversion to the things you once enjoyed, because there is new life within you. Walk in the righteousness of God. Tonight, just pause. Think about that situation that you wrote on the top of the paper, that person, that whatever it was that you wrote, and ask God, God, help me by your grace to bring righteousness into that situation, that I might be in right standing with you. It's not about the works, it's about repairing relationships so that there would not be a hole in your armor. Put on the breastplate, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Why? Because as you put on the breastplate of righteousness, he says this, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and then what? And on the shoes, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Next week, we look at the shoes. Why do we need to put on the shoes? But tonight, as you close off, this is what the Word of God said. Romans 13 and 12. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of God. Ask God, put on the armor of light. Ask God, God, what area of darkness is within me? Is it in my mind? Is it in my will? Is it in my emotions? Is it in my relationships? Who's it with? What's it with? God, I want to cast that off. Help me to walk in alignment with truth and make those areas right, that I may put on the armor of light. Out with the old, in with the new, putting off the old and putting on the new. Put off the old man, put on the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. Why? Because Ephesians 5 verses 1 and 2 says this, therefore be imitators of God. Be imitators of God as beloved children and what? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice of God. You've been called to a greater life. You've been called to a greater life. You need to let go of the past. You need to let go of all the baggage that represents your old man and walk in the breastplate of righteousness, and let truth be fixed around your heart. Let it surround you. Let the truth of God surround you. Next week, don't miss it. As we continue in the Armor of God series, you will be shocked as to what God unfolds week after week if you truthfully come with a heart to see the armor as God intended it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the revelation of truth. We thank you for the revelation of your Spirit, O God, to walk in right relationship with you. And that this right relationship could only come through the sacrifice of your Son. Lord, we receive by faith that gift of salvation. And we ask, O God, for forgiveness of sins, that you may come and dwell within us, and that you may take up residence within our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. As you sign off tonight, please go and register for Sunday morning. We love seeing you here. It's always great to have you, have fellowship with us in the house of God, to worship with us. We'll be here tomorrow morning on Facebook Live, YouTube, and Instagram to share with you our morning devotions with Pastor Dino. And of course, Sunday morning, you'll be here to see us. We'll be here to see you in person or online. You choose your media platform. We've got it there for you. God bless you. We'll see you again next week. And remember, belt of truth and breastplate of righteousness. Make it your armor tonight. Bye for now. Thank you.